Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy Damian Parsons and Keith Sanchez. Welcome back to another episode of the Talent Factor Podcast. Keith, what's up, baby?
Oh, man, what's good, man? I'm feeling good. I'm excited because I think college football finally gave us a good topic to get into. So I'm excited about this topic we're about to get into because I think there's a lot of layers to it. And there's a lot of things that we have to unpack. So I'm excited about this. Let's kick this thing off.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the topic we're talking about, guys, this is going to be predominantly LSU discussed. They gave us some news recently with the transfer acceptance of former Arizona State quarterback Jaden Daniels coming into LSU, who's going to battle with the quarterback room with, Miles Brennan, because Max Johnson went over to Texas A&M. And Keith, it was a lot of things that surrounded this particular transfer, right? It wasn't just a, you know, because typically you see a lot of kids transfer like, man, you know what? The scheme doesn't fit. There's not enough enough playing time. I'm not getting, you know, receivers leave because I'm not getting the production I want. You look at Wandale Robinson going from, I think it was what, Wisconsin or Nebraska, either one of the two, and then went over to Kentucky and blew up, right? It wasn't that type of situation, Keith. Like, this was a little more complex with some things that shouldn't have taken place, might I say, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I think when we start this off, let's start off with Jaden Daniels. Let's start off with that fact and why he transferred. So there's been news for probably about the, what, maybe past 3-4 months about coordinators getting fired, coaches getting fired, and Arizona State being in trouble because of some recruiting violations / sanctions, if you want to see. So Jaden Daniels is a three-year starter, three-year contributor. He's has posted some pretty good stats in the Pac-12, and he's a guy, a dual threat guy overall. So he's a good player. I think everybody would thought that he would be the leader of the locker room headed into this year. So him upping and transferring was kind of a big deal, but the background part of it, I think people understand why, just as far as him wanting to go to a new program and an opportunity to win.
Absolutely. And like you said, I mean, you look at who he is, right? Coming out of high school, this kid was a four-star recruit. He ranked 35 out of all prospects in the entire nation. He was a number two ranked dual threat quarterback and the number three ranked recruit coming out of the whole state of California. This was a highly touted kid. And you saw his first year, which was 2019, he posted 17 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, almost 3,000 yards passing. And again, we see the dual threat ability. 2020, shortened season, you know, not even 1,000 yards. And then you come into 2021, where offensively his best weapon was running back that's in this class, Rashad White, one of my guys. And he posted, you know, 65% completion, over almost close to 2,400 yards. He had 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Then he also had a little over 700 yards on the ground, right? Adding 6 touchdowns. So he is a dynamic player with the ball in his hands, Keith. So I want to hear from you. You know, he's going to your team, to your squad, right? He's going to your neck of the woods. So looking at this QB room with him and Miles Brennan, what does Jaden Daniels bring to this QB room?
I think that's where you have to start, right? Because you just read off all the statistics, and none of them were eye-popping statistics, right? Like, when you look at them, we can be completely honest, and they were very pedestrian. They were average at best. There were numbers where you were like, okay, this guy shows glimpses of hope as far as being a top guy. And then we talk about coming into LSU. What I would want from Jaden Daniels, and I think what he would bring, is the fact that it's his mobility. You know, just to the room and just having that opportunity to be able to run the ball from the quarterback position. Because just knowing LSU's quarterback room, they have Miles Brennan, and I believe they have Garrett Nussmeier, who's a mobile quarterback, but I'm not sure if he has the type of wheels that Jaden Daniels has. So I think that's what he's brought on to do, to be that kind of X factor type quarterback that when everything's going wrong, and we know in the past LSU has had their offensive line issues. So I'm thinking that they may be thinking that, hey, if this offensive line is not put together like we need to, we don't need a stand in the pocket guy like Miles Brennan. We may need a guy like Jaden Daniels who can, who's a mobile quarterback who can escape the pocket, throw the ball down the field, but also those key yards. Like, there's a big difference between first and 10 and then doing second and 10 because you couldn't pick up any yards with your leg, but now you have second and two. So just a guy to kind of keep the offense on schedule and possibly ahead of the chain. So that's what I think Jaden Daniels will bring to the offense, and I think that's why the coaching staff went got him.
Absolutely. And like you said, that dual threat ability, and you think about how he opens up the run game for the running backs that's going to be in the backfield. When you have to factor in a mobile quarterback, that backside end who has to sit instead of just crashing down on the inside zone or outside zone, the power plays is like, okay, I got to play the half man because Jaden has the speed and the ability to be dynamic and not just get to the edge, but get an open field and gash us for big plays. Like I said, he had over 700 yards rushing last year or this past season. And the one thing about it, he has a solid arm. He has the footwork in the pocket to be able to kind of flip, especially in the RPO game, you know, the flip and trigger and snap his hips and get his feet set. It's going to be interesting because at the end of the day, we talked about that last week with Kayshawn. It's going to the quarterback position. This was before the news even broke. The quarterback position will be really big for his production because who's going to be able to give him the best opportunity to produce? I'm looking at just talent wise. I think that probably will be Jaden Daniels. And like I said, that second window, that second reaction opportunities that he will create with his legs that Miles Brennan may not be able to create as dynamic as Jaden Daniels. I really hope to see him in the spring game once, you know, everything is really settled and he's settled into LSU. Cause I want to see how Brian Kelly and how he meshes with that offense.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I think it's important that we put into context, we're taking Jaden Daniels and now we're placing him in the SEC. Mm-hmm. So that's a different caliber athlete. You know, like on the other side of the football is going to be Will Anderson waiting for you. It's not going to be the outside linebacker for Cal or something like that. Like that's a totally different ball game, and that's going to be a week in and week out thing. So I think it's important that we put that in context while – you know, I think LSU fans should be hopeful. I think they should also understand that this may be a learning curve for Jaden Daniels because, like I said, you have to worry about both sides of the football. I think immediately when people look at it, it's like, oh, man, a good quarterback leaving the Pac-12, going to play with better weapons. But like I said, he's also going against better defenders. You know, this is not a league that plays a lot of zone defense. Like, it's a lot of man. So you have to fit the ball into tight windows against some spectacular athletes throughout the front seven and on the back end. So I'm interested to see how this is going to go. And I know you brought up the quarterback room. Miles Brennan, just getting into his numbers, I was there his last year when he was there and he got hurt. He put up pretty good numbers. Like he had some games where I believe he threw for 300-400 yards. When LSU started off rocky, the first four games, it was to no fault of Miles Brennan. So he was slinging a rock at the end of the day. So that competition is going to be really big. And I'm interested to see what are the coaches looking for, right? Like, are they looking for the game manager, a guy that's not going to make mistakes? Or are they looking for the gunslinger that's going to try to put up 400 yards? Or is Brian Kelly looking for the type of quarterbacks that he's had in the past at Notre Dame? When you think about Ian Book, when you think about DeShone Kizer and a bevy other quarterbacks that had a slight element of mobility to them and they were okay throwing the football, but they were able just to win games, right? And I think that's where Jaden Daniels can fall. But it's important to understand another element, and I just keep going, is that what team is he surrounded by? You know, because this is not the same LSU team from the 2010s, the 2015s, even the 2019 championship year. We've seen that. There are a bunch of holes along this offensive line primarily that need to get filled.
Absolutely. And when you look at, like you said, you talk, just kind of go piggyback off your point about Miles Brennan real quick. Yeah. 2020, you know, his first three games, he didn't throw under 330 yards per game. He 345, 337, and 430. And he had 11-3 touchdown ratio. So, and you think about
that's pretty good numbers if you ask me.
In the SEC, those are really good numbers. So, and then you think about what Brian Kelly had his final year in Notre Dame. He had Jack Cohn, who was a Wisconsin transfer, a guy that people weren't really sure how he would, you know, how he would play in Notre Dame. He played pretty good football to the point where he was on the NFL draft you know, just radar, right? So Miles Brennan could definitely walk out of there, Keith, out of this quarterback battle as QB1 heading into that season. And, you know, he's got this prototypical size, 6'4", 210. So, accuracy, ball placement, arm strength, it's going to be a fun battle to watch. But, Keith, let's jump into the why. You said that on the first podcast. It's not just the talent, but it's the why, right? We're going to talk about the why. Why is Jaden Daniels – why did he transfer? So I was reading up on
Go ahead. Let me hear what you got to see.
It kind of caught me off guard reading some of it. So June 24th, 2021, his mom reportedly aided ASU in alleged recruiting violations. There are screenshots of emails that show his mother, Regina Jackson, allegedly helping book more than $1,100 worth of flights for recruits and the adults accompanying them on recruiting trip from Florida, according to the documents. So you have a recruiting scandal going on, a recruiting situation where, like you said earlier, coaches are leaving. I believe it was one of the defensive coaches who's a former New York Giant linebacker. He was a DC, matter of fact, Antonio Pierce. He removed all his ASU affiliation from his Twitter bio. And that was back in October. And Keith, it got to the point where he was not allowed to recruit off campus due to the NCAA review. So not only is there a sanction and violation going on in ASU, Jaden Daniels' particular family has something to do with this particular situation.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy at the end of the day. And let's talk about how ironic it is, right? Because LSU isn't necessarily in the best situation as far as their news either. Right. So I don't know if that's a pick your poison type situation or what's going on. But I think that's very interesting that, like you said, that he was involved in it. And then him going into having a quarterback competition with Miles Brennan. And you mentioned that. But, you know, we in a new age, right? To where Miles Brennan, I want to know how he feels about this, because Miles Brennan before this semester or at some point, he entered into the transfer portal. When Brian Kelly first got there, he was part of that mass exodus that was like, you know what, I'm done, I'm over this, I'm going to go find somewhere to go. And there were reports that he could have easily went to Mississippi State. He played high school in the state of Mississippi. So that would have been an easy transfer for him. And it would have made a lot of sense, him going to a wide open offense, with Mike Leach. Would have made a lot of sense, but he decided to stay, which to me means that there was some recruitment going on, right? Like somebody wanted to keep Miles Brennan there. They sat down with him, they had the conversation, and more than sure, they told him, hey, you're our guy, right? Then you fast forward a couple months, 2-3 months, and then now you're bringing in another quarterback. And this is not a younger guy to ride the bench for depth. This is a guy that you're bringing in to directly compete with me. So if I'm Miles Brennan, I am extremely upset, because I'm going into my fourth, fifth year, I believe. He should be a redshirt senior. I think he was a 2017 recruit. So he's going into, I believe, his redshirt senior year, and you're going to bring me in for a quarterback battle. I'm going to, have to stick it out through spring practice when I could have been at another school. I could have been learning a new playbook. I could have been kind of laying my foundation. So that's the part of the story that I thought was really interesting, because, it's the old adage, right? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And that's it, right? As many people are excited about Jaden Daniels going to LSU, I'm more than sure Miles Brennan and his family are not excited about this situation.
No, not at all. Not at all. Like you sit there and you enter the portal, like, you know what, man, I'm gonna leave and then I'm gonna come back. And then, okay, we got a new coach. And like, they want me here to say I'm the guy. We got Kayshawn coming back healthy. Like, okay, we're going to do some things. My last three games when I was here, I'll put up some numbers, and I was accurate. I was efficient, everything. And I'm going to get a full season, God willing, I'm going to get a full season. We're going to put up some magic. We're going to make some magic, right? Then you get the news, hey, Jaden Daniels coming in. And not only is he coming in, but he's coming in off of a scandal that he had something to do with. So it's just like Miles, right. Miles Brennan sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. Like, what? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it goes to just the nature right now. And like we talked about, the state of college football with this transfer portal, you're going to have multiple situations like this going forward, Keith, where whether it's a starting quarterback, a starting pass rusher, running back, whatever, what have you, is just be like, okay, I was going to leave, but you guys said, hey, stay. Like, we want to feature you, all of that stuff. Then another five-star hits the portal, and he's like, whoa, hold on a second. Like, we can make our team a little better. Yep. What's, no competition ain't never hurt nobody, right? That's big. That's what coaches
say. That's when you start speaking, flirting a little bit, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like that meme where the guy's walking with his girl, but he's turning around looking at the other girl like, so,
yeah.
I mean, I still love you and everything, but – you know, she's not that bad, babe. You know, I'm just looking, but that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen, right? Like, more and more situations like that is going to happen. So you look at the state of college football right now, and then LSU, we talked about that. LSU is really kind of living in the transfer portal themselves. They lost players, you know, Elias Ricks and a couple other guys, but they brought in some guys as well. It's very similar. It's almost like they're rebuilding and retooling their team through college football's free agency.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it looks like. So they finished the year, that bowl game against Kansas State. I believe they had less than 40 scholarship players. And just so our listeners understand that, you usually have somewhere around 80-something, right? Like, that's usually a prototypical number for a fully operating roster. So that was just about less than half of your roster. And then you had other guys hopping the portal after the game. So, yeah, we are watching probably the first team, especially big-time program, right? LSU is a big-time sports program. We're watching the first sports program rebuild themselves through the transfer portal. And this has to be strategic, right? Because when Brian Kelly comes in, he can take the opportunity to be like, okay, we're going to sign high school kids. You know, like, we're going to go after, we're going to use our initial scholarships and sign high school kids. But it looks as though him and the coaching staff, they sat down and they said, you know what? I'm in a situation at LSU where I need to win now. I can't afford to take a gamble on high school kids developing. I need something that's concrete. I need to know what I'm getting myself into. So they went and got guys that already have experience playing college football to somewhat hold them over. Like, and I know they, and you talk about it, you know, being the cold world as far as the transfer portal, they actually stole two defensive backs from Arkansas. That's a rival, you know, so that's amazing in itself. So I think we're watching the first big time sports program kind of reinvent themselves and at least just try to put a stopgap into the bleeding, I would say, of what was going on at LSU.
And it's crazy because that's losing those players, having that small amount of scholarship players is not a good thing. And to be able to go in the portal and say, you know what, like, we got to start fresh with a new coaching staff, start fresh with new players, you know, and they got some solid names, not just Jaden Daniels, but they got, you know, running back from Penn State, Noah Kane coming in. They have some prospects. They, you know, losing Elias Ricks, they went and got Jarek Bernard Converse, who is going to be, I think he'll be a fifth year senior. Oklahoma State, 6'1", 200 pounds. So like you said, it's the transfer portal, and I think we alluded to this on our very first episode, talking about the quarterbacks that entered and moved places due to the transfer. The transfer portal legitimately is free agency for college football. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's money's not technically involved. Like, you know how it is in the NFL. It's like, hey, highest bidder, I'm coming. But it's more so, okay, guys are leaving. What does LSU fit the scheme? Does their scheme fit my skill set? Right? Like, I need to go somewhere. I got 1 year of eligibility left. I need to go somewhere where it's going to pay off. I'm going to be able to put up numbers and get high enough on the draft radar that I'm not a day three pick or priority free agent, and I can take care of my family.
Yeah. So in the past, the coaches have always been able to do what's best for them. Right. And now I think we're starting to see the players and they're able to do what's best for them. So it's split 50-50 now. If the coaches see a better opportunity for themselves, They leave all the time. That they have no loyalty. It's not like they're from that state. It's not like they've been coaching there for 10 years. It's not no type of tie down with family. So they get up and leave, and they go on and, you know, take more money and better opportunities. And now we're seeing players start to do the same thing. And sometimes it is a reaction to a coach leaving, or status of a program, or them not getting enough playing time, or honestly, coaches just not being honest with them for whatever reason through the recruiting process. So I think that's why we're seeing so many kids overall into the transfer portal. And I think this is the first time it is actually somewhat balanced. And it's interesting to see how some programs are going to handle it, because let's get into it the other way. We talked about LSU and them reinventing themselves. How about Alabama just reloading through the transfer portal, right? They took three of the top skill position players, Elias Ricks at corner, Jermaine Burton from Georgia at wide receiver, and then they went and got Jahmyr Gibbs from Georgia Tech. So that's a totally different philosophy, right? Like, you're talking about going get the elite of the elite. Like, when you talk about in the offseason, and it's talking about pushing your chips in the table, somewhat to what the Los Angeles Rams did, right? Like, okay, y'all are not happy in y'all situations. Odell Beckham, come over here. Von Miller, you want to win a Super Bowl? Man, come over here. And you've seen somewhat of the similar, approaches to this. And I think that's where college football is going to be. So it's interesting.
And to your point, Nick Saban had to adapt. You know, this transfer portal, the NIL, all this stuff is making these old school coaches either adapt and evolve, or you become extinct. Like, that's just a fact. Yep. And Nick Saban's looking at the situation like, you know what? And it started last year. You think if he didn't bring in Jameson Williams, and Jameson Williams had the year he had, to now, if he didn't tear his ACL, Jameson Williams probably a top 10 pick, like to the New York Jets. He'd probably be the first receiver off the board if he was able to go to the combine healthy, jump out the gym, and like, come on.
And not to cut you off, what he meant to that team, right? Like, he meant everything to that team. John Metchie got hurt the game before, but when you watch the championship game, the Alabama offense was still humming through Jameson Williams. It wasn't until Jameson Williams got hurt that the Alabama offense went completely silent. So you're talking about bringing in a guy through a transfer that essentially became the rock of your offense. So, man, we talk about how important the transfer portal is. It's important to identify those guys and bring them in and understand the status of your program. And I think that's what we're watching with how Alabama approached it. They understand that they're in a championship window and they're trying to win championships. And then you understand LSU to where they're just trying to get back to that 8-5 type situation, because they can very well be 5-7 again next year, right? So it's different approaches, but it's key to understand the status of your program when attacking the transfer portal.
And that's a great point, because the mentality of the player and who he is and what he brings in the locker room, on the field, off the field, and that's what Jameson Williams. So then you sit and think about being in the shoes of Jahmyr Gibbs and Jermaine Burton and Elias Ricks, and like, you know what? This is where I need to be. This is the team. And watching, it was just something in the eye of Nick Saban when he lost, right? When he lost to Georgia, you kind of saw like, okay, I'm not taking this line down. Like, I can't sit there and just be like, okay, we're going to run it with the guys, the young kids. I'm just expect them to make that next step. He's like, okay, Jermaine Burton, you're not happy with Stetson Bennett? Sure. Come on over. You come on over. Jahmyr Gibbs, they're not, you know that Georgia Tech is just kind of in flux and in the transition. They're not really having a true direction just yet. You come on over as well. And Elias Ricks, I need a number one corner. Majority of my corners have gone to the NFL now. You come over as well. And if you go in that matchup with you and Kayshawn and you shut Kayshawn down, Scott's going to be salivating all over your game. Like, okay, he might be CB1 in 2023 for that draft. So, but then I want to flip it as well, Keith, to the teams that looking at Alabama and looking at that stacked roster they have. You think about Jerome Ford, who the Cincinnati running back, he was a former Bama running back. Right down on the depth chart, right. Alvin Kamara coming. He transferred when they had that run of just running backs, right? And he was on the bottom of the totem pole, but he's like, I can't sit here. So he went to Tennessee, and he put on the show, and he got drafted, and he became one of the best backs in football. They're going to, I believe that on the flip side, while Bama's able to re they're not rebuilding. They're just reloading with talent to get better and stay in that championship window. They're going to be teams coming for their bottom. Because you think about it, if you're a team like Tulsa or Cincinnati and there's a running back or a receiver that's a five-star that's going to be waiting, why not? You know what I'm saying? If they're not happy, why not go after this kid and try to pluck him? Just like think about like practice squad players, right? Those bottom of the tier guys that are talented that they're trying to develop. But if I can grab this kid, maybe he can make a big impact on our team.
Yeah. So essentially what it's doing is it's not allowing those big time programs to just stack rosters and stack recruiting classes on top of each other, because it's going to become year cycles, right? Every year is going to be a reshuffling of the deck, and your roster is going to look completely different, because we have to understand is that we look at it through the lens just casual fans, right? We look at it through the lens of, man, being loyal to the school, and man, they say they're going to be at the school, but at the same time, these kids are going to practice every single day and they're not getting any playing time. They were told on these recruiting visits, on these recruiting trips for the past 3 years, that they were the greatest thing ever and that they were going to play immediately, right? So they enter it into that with that mindset. And when you're going to practice every single day, going through, just how tough practices are, just playing a game of football as a physical sport, and you're not playing, of course you're going to start looking other places, right? Because your dream and aspirations ultimately are still to make it to the NFL. So I think that them having that opportunity to kind of stack rosters, I don't think that's going to be, going to stand. And I will say this, it may look a lot more similar to how college basketball approaches it. Meaning what? Like that the starting lineup for Kentucky has changed every year for the past 20, 30 years, right? Like every year it changes. And I think we're going to see some of that. Like Nick Saban, you just got to tip your hat to him. I think he was just the first one to do it at an elite level, right? When I was in college football, the transfer portal was always used to kind of would stop gap guys to kind of just plug a hole and, I'm cool with if I just get an okay player. Nick Saban is sitting back and his staff, and they're thinking like, nah, man, let's go get the elite guys. Let's go get the elite ones. So, man, he's doing it in a great way. And, man, if they go win a championship next year, then much like anything else with sports, you can imagine that everybody else is going to try to copy that recipe.
Absolutely. And like to my point, and then off of your point as well, look what he did to Ohio State. Ohio State tried to stash Jameson Williams with that elite receiver room they had. And Jameson Williams was like, man, I'm too good for this, right? Yeah. And entering the season, right? And entering the season, people are like, well, we'll see.
I don't mean to cut you off, but
no, yeah,
can you imagine that Ohio State room with Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Jackson? Like, bro, what is that?
Not even just imagine that receiver room. Think about at practice. Those DBs are going through pure hell trying to cover these kids. Yeah. It's like, yo, come on, man. So you sub out JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, then now I got to run downfield with Jameson Williams? Like, absolutely not. Like, that's nowhere near fair to the defensive backs in that situation. But that's what Saban did. Saban's like, okay, Jameson Williams, like, I'm betting on myself. I know I'm better than just sitting as like a fourth or fifth option. Even though these guys are good, I can be great. I can be elite. And then he got the opportunity to show that. So it's going to be more and more situations. It's going to empower more and more kids that say, listen, man, I mean, y'all told me I was going to start at least 2 years. It's year three, and it doesn't look like I'm even going to get 50% playing time. I'm mm-hmm. not going to put myself through that. And then that's why you have parents as well stepping in, like, hey, talking to the kids, what do you want to do? Do you, some of the dads, I know you already got some stories and some fathers like, hey, I thought my kid was going to play immediately. You know what? We're going to get up out of here.
Oh, yeah. Pack our bags, like I said, it's 1 year contracts. It's 1 year contracts.
Exactly. So the state of college football is going to be ever changing. And it's never going to be the same as what we used to. So I like you talked about with the casual fan, I would advise anybody, do not get too connected to these kids, man. Because at the drop of a hat, not even in an off season, it could literally be after the season. Because I can't remember who it was that transferred, but it was like literally after the season. It was kind of announced maybe a couple weeks to a month later. Yo, it was a big name kid. He transferred out, and I'm like, well, dang, Spencer Rattler, matter of fact, which we kind of knew was coming, but it didn't take long after the season was over before the bowl game that Spencer Rattler was like, yeah, no, I'm out, you know, and then that's when the news came out, I'm going to South Carolina. But that's what, to the casual fans, just don't get too hyped, you know, and get too connected to these kids, because if things don't go the way that, you know, they were told, there's a strong chance that these kids can step away.
Yeah, and let me see this, that it may not necessarily be a bad thing, right? Because like, let's flash back to 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when LeBron left Miami, right? He took his talents to South Beach. Everybody said, man, this guy just ruined NBA basketball, right? Then you fast forward 12 years, and everybody copied the same thing. So now we get Joel Embiid and James Harden together in the 76ers, right? Now we get the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. And it's like now the players are recruiting themselves, and it's creating great content. It's creating great games. It's creating, you know, just great seasons overall of what we think may happen. So, man, I would say to the college football fans, like you see, being attached in that type of situation may not be the best for you, but don't get down on college football. I think it's just a turn of the page. I think it's going to become – the offseason is going to become even more exciting. So I think it's going to be great moving forward.
I'm telling you, man. Listen, basketball typically – basketball free agency typically rules – in terms of them in the NFL, but we, as we're seeing right now, the NFL is like, yo, we got to up our game a little bit. We're going to start making some quarterback trades. We're doing, you know, it's Russian roulette out here, baby. We're playing spades. We're playing, you know, 21. We're doing a lot of different things. And I think that's going to be the same thing for college football. When a lot of these kids, these five-star kids who have huge followings on social media, and it's like, hey, they start moving to different places, man. It's going to be a lot of moving pieces, a lot of moving parts, but it's going to be a lot of fun to see where these kids land, because, again, this is free agency of college football. And I'm excited for it, Keith, because I want to see – like I said, I always say, right, if we could have got Bryce Young at Iowa with a dominant offensive line and run game and some – and they had typically good receivers that nobody knew were good because they didn't throw the ball or they didn't have good quarterbacks to get them the football – if you take some of these quarterbacks that Nick Saban has stashed over the couple of years, and my closing point, let's go back a couple years ago, actually, when Tua came in to the national championship game against Georgia in the second half, throws the game-winning touchdown to Devonta Smith. It came out coming into that camp and into that next season's of training camp and spring training. Tua's dad was basically like, listen, Nick, like, you got a decision to make. Like, either it's Tua or Jalen Hurts, because if you pick Jalen Hurts, we're going to go ahead and go to SoCal, because if anybody watched the documentary about Tua, that's where most of his family, I believe, went for college was, you know, yeah. was USC, SoCal. Yeah. So he was – if Saban literally anybody knows, you know, being both – you know, you see me and Keith, we're both black men. Playing cards in the black community, there's a saying, you think long, you think wrong. If Nick Saban had thought wrong and went with Jalen Hurts, he would have lost Tua. Tua would have went to SoCal, and we don't know how that would have turned out, right? SoCal would have finally had them a really good quarterback, you know, especially at the college level. So it's going to put a lot of pressure on these coaches to make some decisions too, Keith. Like, whether it's quarterback, receiver, offensive line, it's going to make – these coaches are going to have a lot of decisions to make when these kids come to their office. Like, hey, listen, I'm thinking about transferring. I'm not getting what I want. Or what I was told or what I believe I deserve. And now you just got to make a decision like, hey, do I force him onto the field and he's not part of the actual plan, or do I just let him walk?
Yeah, no, I agree. Like you said, we're in a new age of college football. Like I said, it's exciting. It's exciting to see how these college programs are going to start to approach the offseason from here on out. I think the transfer portal is only going to make things more exciting, more interesting. And man, I'm ready for it. So let's get this thing rocking and rolling.
Absolutely, guys. And like I say, stick with us, because we have a lot of fun content coming to you guys. You know, spring training and practices will be ramping up soon. You know, we're getting into the spring for the southern months. I can't speak to the northerners. You're probably still dealing with some cold weather. Sorry to hear it. But I'm going to enjoy that 80-degree weather when it hits us down here. So, you know, we got a lot of stuff coming down. We got a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. And as I tell you guys after every single show, we appreciate the support. We appreciate the love. Go on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, whatever platform that you listen to your podcast. Subscribe, like, and share. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that, hey, when you're doing dishes, I got a cool podcast that you can listen to help make the time go by. That is our show. Like I said, we got a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline for you guys. I'm Damian Parson. That's Keith Sanchez. This is the Talent Factor Podcast.
And remember, baby, talent is always the factor.